Lord, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
When you look at yourself in a mirror, what do you see? And which part of your face do you look at? Do you look at your teeth, your hair, your eyes, or nose? Our Bible passage today is like a mirror, as all the Bible is, really. On the face of it, it seems like just a story about Jesus and some blokes in the temple. But as we find out what happens, it is like a mirror, forcing us to look at ourselves as we look at God's word, making us examine our lives and ask some deep questions, questions that need answers. So it's just days before Jesus' death. Jesus has entered Jerusalem majestically on the Sunday. Sort of majestically, he was sitting on a donkey. But in those days, that was a majestic announcement of him being king. The crowds sang his praises, the king has come. But once in Jerusalem, the next day, what did he find? The temple was not as it should have been. Not full of people praying, but full of people trying to make money. It was a den of robbers, when it should have been a house of prayer for all nations. So now it's Tuesday, the next day. The day began with an argument about Jesus' authority, which we've looked at. Jesus told a parable about a vineyard at the beginning of chapter 12. The vineyard has rebellious tenants, and this is directed straight at the religious people, so-called religious people. The Messiah had come, but they were rejecting him and wanting to kill him. And now, Jesus' opponents come to him again. Verse 13, later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They is probably the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. It's a strange combination of people that they send. The Pharisees, on the one hand, very religious, trying to please God with hundreds of rules built on God's law. The Herodians, on the other hand, were very materialistic, didn't care much for God at all. But these two groups united against a common enemy, Jesus. They stroll up to Jesus and ask their question, designed to trap him. They came to him and said, verse 14, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" What would he say? Caesar was the Roman emperor, claimed that he was divine, said he was God himself and he should be worshipped. Caesar's armies occupied Israel, forcing the people to pay taxes to the Romans. But the land of Israel was supposed to belong to God's people, wasn't it? The real God, Yahweh, the living God and creator. How could they have anything to do with this Caesar? So if Jesus is for Caesar, how can he claim that he's got anything to do with God? But if he's for God and he says so, they've got him. They can denounce him to the Romans as a traitor. What would Jesus say? As we see his answer, the mirror is held up to our faces, asking searching questions for us, of us. So here's the first question. Are we hypocrites? Are we hypocrites? A hypocrite is like an ancient Greek actor. They would hold a mask in front of their face, so you wouldn't see their face, you'd see the mask. And then when they go backstage, off comes the mask. They're someone completely different. A hypocrite is someone who, for example, criticises something and then goes off and does exactly the same thing. Are we hypocrites when it comes to Jesus? Do we say Jesus is great, but we live as if he makes no difference? Do we say Jesus is Lord, but live as if we were Lord? These men, with their question for Jesus, are hypocrites. Mark tells us, verse 15, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. The Pharisees and Herodians are hypocrites in all sorts of ways, but there are two main things. First, they're lying through their teeth about their opinion of Jesus. Do you notice that? Verse 14, "Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Yeah, yeah. That's a mask, isn't it? Yeah? holding up a mask. They don't really think that. And if they did, they'd be honouring Jesus. Instead, they very clearly reject Jesus and his teaching. It's hypocrisy. Second, how long does it take them to get a denarius? About 5 seconds. Very quickly, very easy for them. Do you think for people who are suggesting there's this big clash between Caesar and God, shouldn't there be it harder for them to find some Roman money? No. They use that denarius readily enough. They've got no real problems with dealing with the Romans at all. It's just a mask to try and catch Jesus. They're hypocrites. And Jesus sees right through them. What about us? Are we hypocrites? Does Jesus see right through us? The story is told of two Moldovans, cousins, who are driving, I think it's a true story. They were driving from Ukraine to Moldova in their car with a big rug rolled up on top of the car. They stopped to eat at a cafe in Spikovo, northwest of Kiev. There you go. But when they got back to the car, the rug was gone. Well, it's all very well, except that their grandmother's body was in the rug. They couldn't afford a coffin and were taking her back to Moldova to bury her. The thieves thought they were getting a nice-looking carpet for their house, but they have a nasty shock when they open it up and unroll it. Do our nice Christian outsides hide something nasty within? Do we come here and act all nice, but go somewhere else and gossip and bitch? Do we put on good behaviour for our believing friends and then get drunk when we're out with others? Do we say we confess our sins but go away and relish in secret something that God hates? The Lord Jesus Christ can help us sort this out. And he wants us to do that. Yeah, we need to begin with repentance. That's recognising where we're going wrong, admitting it to God, committing ourselves to going his way instead. And combine that with dependence on Jesus alone to forgive us because of his death on the cross. No use trying to stack up good things against the wrong things. That just won't work. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we know that Jesus promises forgiveness to those who ask through his death on the cross. And he promises the Holy Spirit to help bring transformation to those who seek it. So as we raise the mirror of this Bible passage, the first question we ask ourselves is, am I a hypocrite? Here's the second. Am I giving to Caesar what is Caesar's? That is, are we model obedient citizens? Model obedient citizens. Being a good citizen is actually part of our discipleship. It doesn't clash with trusting in Jesus. It's part of it. Lots of people try and separate religion and politics. But the Lord Jesus Christ rules over our lives, and that includes our relationship with politics and our civil duties. So are we giving to Caesar, as it were, what is Caesar's? Here, the Pharisees and the Herodians seem to be suggesting that paying taxes is incompatible with honouring God. And you can see where they get that idea, because Caesar wanted to be worshipped as God, and that's wrong. Romans had overrun Israel, that wasn't good. So it looks like paying taxes to the Romans would be a sinful thing. Jesus says, verse 16, pay them. They brought the coin, and he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. There's nothing wrong with paying your taxes, says Jesus. You may have noticed, if you're used to this passage, that in this new version of the NIV, they've inserted the word back there. It's not just give to Caesar what is Caesar's, it's give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. There's a sense that it's a repaying of a debt. You get civic amenities from these Romans. Justice and peace and things like that. Pay for it with your taxes. Give it back. Give money back to them. Jesus is saying it's not incompatible with your worship of God. In fact, it comes within your worship. It's one of the ways we honour God. So how do we give back to Caesar what is Caesar's? When I was a curate years ago, I once got a police notice stuck on my car. I had parked on the grass verge outside our house, and they threatened me action if I didn't move the car. I was incensed. It was outside my house. It hadn't been for long. Why weren't they out there catching criminals? I shouldn't have been incensed. I should have been convicted of sin. It was a criminal offence. It does cause damage to council property. It wasn't my right. I was parked where I shouldn't be. It wasn't a good witness to people either. Jesus calls us to behave in public and private without hypocrisy as model citizens. It's part of our discipleship. It's honouring to God because he's sovereign over all the world's governments. It's a good witness to the world so that people won't complain that we're lawbreakers. So if we're trusting Jesus for our salvation, he calls us to live his way, including civil obedience. We pay our taxes. We keep the speed limits. We obey the planning rules. We park in the marked bays. And we buy a ticket. And in our minds, we're to think of this as a good thing. Yeah? So often, people around us, and maybe us, we think of these as bad things. Why should I park in that bay? Why can't I park across it? Why do I have to obey the planning rules? They're rubbish. No. We're to have minds that go, yeah, this is a good thing. To obey the civil rules. It's what Jesus wants. He doesn't want us to be trying to get away with stuff. He wants us to be model citizens. Now that's as long as what the government asks of us doesn't lead to us denying Christ in some kind of way. There may be a point when we have to disobey. Back in the first century, worshipping Caesar would be incompatible with being a Christian. And so if there's some public way they had to do that, then the Christians would have to say no. Remember Daniel from 600 years before that. He went to the lion's den rather than stop praying to God. Today, there may come a time when teaching publicly that Jesus is Lord, the only way to God, will be a criminal offence. Already, in the news, we hear of some Christians, street preachers in particular, who've been arrested for teaching biblical things in public. Truths about Jesus, other religions, and people's lifestyles. However, as much as we're able, we are called to obedience. Are we giving to Caesar, as it were, what is Caesar's? So, two questions so far in our mirror. Are we hypocrites? Are we giving to Caesar? That is, are we living civil, obedient lives? And here's the third one. Are we giving to God what is God's? Or let me translate that. Are we honouring Jesus Christ as Lord, as he deserves? So in your life, have you set apart Jesus as the one you worship, the one you love and live for, more important than any member of your family, any friend, any possession? Is Jesus Lord to you? Are you giving to God what is God's? This isn't about some kind of religious observance, making it to church at 6:30 on a Sunday. Are you doing the right religious things? No, it's about Jesus being there in all of our life, all the time. Jesus says to them, verse 17, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. He's being very critical of them as he says that, isn't he? They are not giving to God what is God's. The parable of the tenants he's just told explains that completely. How were they to pay the vineyard owner? Well, by respecting his son when he's sent. But they don't, they beat and kill him. And that's talking about these very people. They're not receiving Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah. He's arrived in Jerusalem as king, and the leaders are rejecting him. They're not honouring him. They're not giving to God what is God's, the honour that he's due. A friend of mine, Giles Walter, is a vicar in Tunbridge Wells. He's about to retire. A few years ago, I phoned Giles, and I had to call him back because he was busy. So he said, call me back in a few minutes. So I rang him back. And unbeknown to me, Giles' father-in-law, who's a bishop, was staying, and he answered the phone. I said, hello, is that Giles? And the voice at the end said, no, it's the bishop. I thought Giles was messing around. So I said some rather silly things to Giles and didn't treat the bishop with the honour he deserved. Oops. Fortunately, Timothy Dudley Smith could take a joke. Clang. Sorry. But it's no joking matter when we don't honour Jesus as Lord, is it? He's very generous and gracious and patient with us, but in the end, to reject his lordship over us is a fatal and foolish mistake. Fatal, because he's the only way for us to be acceptable to God. That's why he died there in Jerusalem days later from this. His death on the cross was his self-giving sacrifice for us that we need. We've all rejected God's rule in some way. You have, I have. We've all said, I'm in charge, I'm better than God. And there's a price to pay. Someone is going to have to pay that price and bear God's righteous justice for the way we treated him. There's a simple choice. You can pay the price, or you can let Jesus pay it by his death on the cross. But if we want that to happen, Jesus to pay it, then we have to turn to him and accept him and honour him as the Lord and Sovereign, the King of Kings, Son of God, the one to worship, the one to love and live for, more important than any member of your family, any friend, any possession. And when and if we turn to him as Lord, he takes the punishment we deserve onto himself and away from us, pouring out new life onto us forever. So to reject him is a fatal mistake to make, and a foolish one. He's amazing and wonderful. You know, look at his life on earth through Mark's gospel. What person in their right mind wouldn't submit to him? Give to God what is God's. Honour Jesus as Lord. Are you? Well, if not, start today. And if you're not sure what that means, then get on our Christianity Explore course in the autumn. Find out more. Do something about it. Quite a shock looking in the mirror, can't it? Especially in the morning. And this passage, at first sight, looks fairly benign. Here's Jesus meeting some guys and not falling for their trick. But as he deals very skillfully and shrewdly with these men here, who hate him, God lifts up his word as a mirror to our lives, asks us some penetrating questions about how we respond to Jesus. Questions to take away and mull over, chew on, knowing that there's help from the Lord if we need it. So ask yourself again and again, first of all, am I a hypocrite? Do I wear a Christian mask but live like an unbeliever? Am I giving to Caesar and being a model citizen as I follow Jesus? Am I giving to God, honouring Jesus as Lord, more important than any member of our families, any friend, any possession, the one to worship, the one to love and live for? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonder of Jesus as he makes himself known through the pages of the Bible, and especially here in the Gospels, in Mark's Gospel. And thank you for the way he deals with these people who hated him. And we pray for your help, that we ourselves would not be hypocrites. Point out, show us clearly in our lives where we are living falsely. And help us change, we pray, by your Spirit's power. Help us, Lord, to live as citizens in a model way, as part of our discipleship, as part of our living for Jesus. And especially with Brexit things drawing near and maybe difficulties coming with that, help us to be like light shining in a dark place as we live for you. And help us more than anything to give to you what is yours in honouring Jesus as Lord. Thank you for all he's done. Help us to respond to that rightly. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.